This episode of the Innerhoe Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp.
This episode of the Innerhoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Welcome to the Innerhoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe living in New York City whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who is kicking it with my favorite homies before the winter break. Oh shit, it's like the last day of school. Wow.
Hey. And me, Rodeca, one fat, black, pansexual, polyamorous, hungover. Yeah. Femme, whose life is a series of coincidences and drunk choices that landed her here. And my pronouns are she and they.
And Akua, pronouns she and her. I almost said they because so many people said they, but she
joined
and her.
The squad, baby.
I will not appropriate. I'm a her. Your favorite demi omnisexual mental health therapist who just started her own therapy journey again.
Yay!
And wants to ask these New York hoes that she's talking to, do you know what this bing bong internet thing is?
Yes.
Bing bong, fuck your life. Bong.
What is that?
What do you want to say to Joe Byron right now?
It's a man on the street type interview talking to assholes from New York.
People in Coney Island.
I knew you were the people to ask. Thank you. Thank you. I'm out of touch. You're if welcome. You guys didn't realize.
Oh, bing bong, fuck your life, Akua. Every episode of the Innerhoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. On this episode, we're answering the question, is the dating pool filled with piss or is it covered in shit or is it neither? We're going to find out.
That's an option?
Okay. I just wrote that one in there. plus, the wildest shit seen by flight attendants, how the conservative white religious right is coming for us all and how you can fight back, some questionable songs from our childhood, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Innerhoe Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerhoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Innerhoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can head over to InnerhoeUprising.com to pay a hoe and to cop some merch.
All right, let's get into it hot and heavy with our segment that we like to call Fuck Is This?
Today. Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
It is a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at the nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. Today, we're getting real weird, real fast.
Straight up, off the rip. We're talking about breastfeeding cats out here. Just rip the Band-Aid off, you know?
Do you mean cats that breastfeed?
No, which is funny because I will say that, I reference something like that later on, but no, we're talking about the other way around. We're talking about a woman breastfeeding a cat on a plane because that's happened.
Not even what I meant. I didn't mean it the what other way around. I just meant like cats that give milk to their young, but you put some other type of shit in my head.
Yeah.
People drink the milk of cats, nigga?
Listen, y'all. Okay.
Cats? Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I don't
we
like
starting
this.
Off hot. We're starting
this
off
the last
from the rip, you know?
Of Innerhoe Uprising ever.
We just gotta get weird with it. We gotta start thinking about some kinks. We gotta start thinking about things that you never even thought about, you know?
Bing bong. Yes.
Bing bong. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So this is a Newsweek article by Ayla Slisko. I am gonna skim through it because this is technically a quote.
Because you're hungover, nigga. That's a fact. You're not even.
but also because it's kind of a rumor. It's basically they wrote a whole article on an image that was kind of screen grabbed from ACARS, which is the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System. It's how pilots communicate with one another. And you'll see like things like we're landing in Tampa. And then occasionally you'll see things like, you know, woman in seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put it back in the carrier. So that's what the screen grab says. And that's where they kind of got a little bit more information about it. So a woman on a recent Delta Airlines flight allegedly began to breastfeed her pet cat mid-flight and refused to stop after getting caught. So it happened within, I think that's, you know what I mean? It's like,
it's like, ma'am.
Nah, like, you serious? And bold with it. She refused to stop. So it happened on a recent trip, a route between Syracuse, New York, and Atlanta. An image was posted on social media that suggests that the purported cat breastfeeding happened while the plane was heading towards Atlanta, although it is not clear exactly when the incident happened. What's up, sir? I have
a very important question. Is this a black person?
I didn't see the image. I don't know. They didn't show. It's not even an article.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know. Syracuse to Atlanta is that's a questionable flight path. That's a nigga flight path.
That's undoubtedly a nigga flight path. It is. Mad niggas in Syracuse.
There's a big chance.
Mad niggas in Atlanta. There's a big chance. That was a black Let's hope. Person.
I'm not even gonna put that out there. I'm gonna hope that it's not a black woman because I don't believe that. I don't believe that for us. So like I said, in the ACARS message, they did say seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat, will not put it back in the carrier. And a TikTok account from a flight attendant named Ainsley Elizabeth appears to refer to the incident and give a little bit more light. And she posted on November 2nd claiming that the security met the flight because the woman was breastfeeding her cat. She said this woman had one of those like hairless cat swallowed up in a blanket so it looked like a baby, and her shirt was up and she was trying to get the cat to latch and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier and the cat was screaming for its life. So no one was enjoying this.
What the fuck?
Not the cat was screaming for its life.
Because when you thought about it, right, you were like, okay, this is something that has to have happened at home. And like the cat likes this, you know, because I don't know why I victim blamed the cat. I immediately was like, yo, the cat just likes this stuff and she's doing it to comfort it. The cat wasn't enjoying it either. No one was enjoying it. I don't know what's going on. And then she said, what does she do at home? She continues on in the video. She's like, what does she do at home if she's doing that in public? And then security met the flight just to tell her she couldn't do that again because it's weird and gross. They didn't like ban her, which is something that people do. People get banned from flights. People, like, all that type of stuff happened. They just kind of told her, like, don't. But then Delta then releases a full statement and says, we support a woman's rights to breastfeed on a plane, on board. Delta and Delta aircraft and Delta facilities. Breast pumps are allowed on board at the airport. And if you prefer, many airports do provide private lactation rooms or spaces. And if you need any assistance, ask a Delta associate. I guess they were just like, yo.
Delta did not know the details of this. They just...
Yeah, I'm like, when are they going to get to the point that this was a cat and not a fucking baby?
Delta heard that there was going to be a PR nightmare about somebody not being allowed to breastfeed. And they're like, we allow breastfeeding.
They didn't know the details. They didn't ask. They were like, give them the statement. Okay, give them the number.
I'm stressed out about this.
So something that when you're in flight attendant school that they teach you is like, you're going to have people who take advantage of the emotional
Explain
support.
To people why you're talking about.
Oh, I would say because school. I was a flight attendant for a brief period in my life. So I do know that people do bring pets on board and they kind of let a lot of different things go off as emotional support. And it looks like now Delta is actually cracking down on that because they anything from up to a miniature horse can be an emotional support animal. So I've seen photos where they're like showing you in class and they're like,
a pony?
Yeah, there's been a pony on a plane.
On a plane?
Yeah. So that's why I was like, when I read this, I was like, okay, she swallowed up her cat when she got it to be an emotional support. Cause that's how we even got here in the first place. Because otherwise the cat wouldn't be up there. But it's all they no longer allowed emotional support animals to fly. There's a new rule by the Department of Transportation that states the animals do not qualify as service animals unless they are a trained dog. Otherwise they are not a service animal. Because people notoriously take advantage of that policy. And I did also take it a step further. I was curious. I Googled it and I researched it. Kittens cannot drink human breast milk. They shouldn't. they actually shouldn't drink a lot of milk. They should really only drink, because people also feed their cat like cow's milk, and you're not supposed to do that either. It's just like they have the nutrients in human breast milk and cat's milk are different and suit the needs of for different mammals. So they're just, you know, not they're lactose not compatible. Yeah, they're not. It's not supposed to happen. So like, I don't know what. That's all we have on this situation. Just don't do this. Don't do this, y'all. But then my favorite comment, because I was reading the comments and they were cracking me up. But my favorite comment under the article was someone by Goddess. It was made by someone whose username is Goddess Fake. But it said, just be thankful it was not the cat breastfeeding the woman. And when you said that, it reminded me of the comment that I left there so that I could say it. And I was like, you know, someone thought of it. But yeah.
Oh, no. How long did that take? That was the worst 9 minutes this podcast has ever seen. I'm actually really sorry. I didn't know it was going to be that bad.
I just want to clear up something. You were talking about Delta no longer allowing emotional support animals. And I want to say that emotional support animals and service animals are not the same thing. So it sounds like the Department of Transportation has banned anything that's not a service animal as they categorize as a trained dog. So that allows Delta to no longer allow emotional support animals. But
yeah,
it sounded like we kind of conflated the two and...
Yeah, I think I accidentally did that. They are definitely different, and they had different chapters in the books.
Samantha looks so stressed. Y'all need to go on YouTube and see how because stressed. Because
the cat was screaming. It's the cat. The line is the cat screaming for its life that really got it.
It's all of it.
Sam is stressed.
I'm like, really, shout out to Akua for like
holding it down. Like at the end, she was like, just so you know,
extra nuance. Yeah, I'm like, how are you thinking right now,
I appreciate
man?
Her.
I'm fucking traumatized, bro. I feel really bad about that.
I think that's what really bothered me the most, because I was like, okay, it's a hairless cat, so you were really like doing this, and it was just a cat not having a good time either. That was really like, no, you know. No.
Like, we'll give you a pass of what you do. No, I can't even say that. Never mind.
Not really.
Never mind. I caught it. I just know. All the way around.
It's all no. Up and down. Oh, God. Let's move on to some other budget. Not like this bad. It's not good, but it's definitely not this bad. So stick with us.
Stick with us. Don't leave, please.
Okay. This next thing is a simple screenshot of a Facebook post that happens to be on Twitter. Okay. We're taking it down 8,000 notches over here. All right. So this is a screenshot. I'm going to read the Facebook message first. This is from Derek Jackson. How would I even explain who that is to someone who doesn't know? Prominent internet figure.
Who gives advice.
Relationship guru who was recently in, you know, headlines because as a relationship guru, he was caught cheating on his wife and then made whole video with his wife in it where she just looked like she needed to blink for help. The end.
She was over it with the bonnet
not
on and
as
everything.
Bad as the cat, but like,
yeah,
my stressful eye twitch is coming.
Oh,
up.
No.
Why would we start the show like this?
Starting off hot.
Yes.
All right. So Derek Jackson at some point in time put that Facebook, you know, when you use the colors and stuff on Facebook to make a post. And he said, I'm shocked by how many single women are in bed by 7 to 8 p.m. every night. Are women too comfortable being alone? And then somebody tweeted that, Beige Tweeter, that's a questionable at, but Beige Tweeter tweeted that, posted that and said, we can't even be tired now, LOL. Thoughts?
We can't even be tired. I can't even sleep. I can't even be comfortable in my bed.
I have a couple of questions about this.
Why are you so concerned?
How does he know how many women are in bed by 7
Because he's in there with them.
Is he taking
he's
a
not
survey?
With his wife. He's in there with them. With the single women.
He's trying to fuck again. He's trying to cheat again. Damn, bitch, you sleep right. Let me call Tina. Oh,
he
damn.
Hit up a
Let
number of different Tina. Single oh, women, and they were all like,
all these bitches sleep.
I'm tired.
But they're not in bed, nigga. They're saying that because they don't want to fuck with your cheating ass.
I do be in bed sometimes, though, like at 7
to 8. From 7 to 8 p.m.? Okay. This is like my heyday, son. Like, 3 to 7 is when I feel most alive.
Yeah, that's your peak hours.
Sam, yes. Mine's like your 12. Sleep hours have always been weird, and I've always been worried about you. But I think like, so I'm not in bed at 7 because I get home at like 6:30. Unless I'm depressed, then I'm coming home and like taking
just immediately.
Yeah. Unless I'm depressed, which immediately I'm heading to my bed. I'm doing nothing else but climbing in my bed. But like I'm in bed at a cool 8:30, and it's like in the winter. I have to add that layer to it in the winter. In the summer, probably not. But in the winter, I'm not doing anything. It's cold. Fuck talking about it. I'm turning on the heat in my home and I'm going in my bed. But it's like, yeah, one, how does he know?
What's that have to do with being alone?
Exactly.
What is he even talking about? What is he even talking about, actually?
What am I supposed to be doing instead? Like I have to be out because it seems to imply that because I'm a single woman, like I have to be out constantly shopping every
for a man.
For something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, at 7 to 8 p.m. Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to be on a date.
You're supposed to be at happy hour.
Oh, that's what this is about.
You're supposed to be at social meetings. Okay. You're supposed to be out there looking for a man, making yourself be seen. But it's COVID times. I'm too
comfortable being single.
Ain't nothing open. Yeah. It's COVID times. We're not doing
You can
any
also
of that.
Do that at different times of the
exactly.
day, right? Aren't there different times of the day? I think that you're adding more logic to it than he has.
Because I have to find something. I think it actually.
No, that's really what he meant.
That Facebook thing.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rodeca.
With the purple background. I don't know why it pisses me off. Because it's just like.
There's actually a little face. I'm not going to screen share it again. Or maybe I should. I'll do it again.
It looks like a little on share it. I don't like it.
It looks like somebody.
There's a little person here. Yes. You see that?
A
this
single
little
woman.
Person with glasses. Oh, that's her.
That's silly. I just don't understand why he's concerned. You are a married man. Tend to your married man businesses and leave us single people alone. And it's just misogyny. Like, we can't be tired. I don't want to be comfortable. Leave me alone. And then he will be the same one to make a post when we're all running and thotting in the streets. Oh, women don't know how to be in their houses at respectable times anymore. Nigga, what do you want from me? Do you want me out in the streets or you want me inside? I can't do both.
Is he that type of relationship guru, though? Because I thought that he was not that type of relationship guru. Like, I thought that he got prominent based off of, like, being a simp, basically, and like saying all these men are out here talking to you like this, but you are a queen.
Yeah,
but not like full Hotep queen. I think that's why he got popular. Yeah. But I always saw through that bullshit.
When I was on Facebook before I deleted it, like in my heyday, when I was on Facebook like every hour of the damn day, I would just see him every couple of videos, I just see this man's face. I'm like, in his car. I'm like, I don't want this. And then when he cheated, I was just like, I felt it. I felt the vibe from him. He felt pick me, kind of. Like, I don't know.
He's a pick me.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So this is actually surprising because
this
goes
against
his context.
This is out of context for
him. I don't know.
Maybe this might have been a piece of misinformation. This might have not even been him. This could be a catfish, Derek Jackson. Is it always spelled with X like that?
That I don't know.
And it had what looked like the verification sign, but it could all be copy and pasted all together. Who knows? The internet's a wild place.
Elaborate Photoshop.
He has to release a statement because this is out of character.
Maybe he's pimping. Maybe he's pimping since he cheated.
Maybe he's
pandering to men now.
Yeah. Maybe he's angry.
There's a lot to this. Should we move on?
Yeah.
We could move on. Because my Twitch is still here.
That maybe he's angry just took me out, bro.
Maybe he's mad. I don't know why I said it. Yo, y'all, come on. You're going to get a weird, unedited version of me today. Y'all are getting it. I don't know.
No, that was it right there.
All right. Next up, the dating pool. Is it shit or is it piss? But first, did you know that hoes need rest too?
Not Derek Jackson did it for
real. I'm fucking dead. I didn't realize how that related so well.
It flew right into it.
Wow. All right, Derek Jackson.
We need to be in bed by 7 a.m.
Okay.
You've been put on notice. All right. Well, did you know that hoes need rest too? If you don't know, now you know, nigga. Thanks to Derek Jackson. Your favorite hoes, that is us, are going on hibernation. We will be taking the rest of the winter off and returning fully rested in spring. We love all of you, and in order to give you the best possible show, we would like to be our best possible selves. Fully rested selves. But Before we go on break, we must ask, do the conversations in this podcast resonate with you? Do they help you learn some new shit, help you unlearn some old shit, or just allow you to have a good ass time while listening? If the answer is yes, we absolutely love to hear that, and we would absolutely love for you to support the continuation of this podcast. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. But perhaps even more importantly, if you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Though we will be on break from podcasting for the next few months, we will be quite active on our Patreon, bringing you weekly content and patron-only events. For example, yesterday, Rodaka got drunk in front of all these niggas. And that's why she's hung over here today, partially. And this coming week, Akua has something cooking in the kitchen for you. Akua, what's going on?
Oh, goodness.
Damn. This is an honesty podcast.
Transparency, is, okay? Well, yes, it's your favorite hoe. Yes, it's me. As part of our Patreon, I do this wonderful little segment called Akua Rants. Where I invite you to peer into my mind to discuss things that positively challenge me, grind my gears, or bring me joy and pleasure through written pieces, video reviews, virtual town halls. You can join me as I get on my soapbox regarding sex, love, dating, gender, mental health, pop culture, parenting, and so much more. This week, I'll be ranting about the challenges and rewards in raising a Black, queer, disabled, neurodiverse child while confronting my own internalized biases. For access, all you need to do is be part of our Patreon community. You can visit patreon.com/innerhouprising and pledge as little as $2 per month. And Sam, you'll put this Patreon link in the show notes, right?
It's always in the show notes. That's cool. Is that going to be a written piece or is that something you're talking about?
I think it may be a written piece, but you've given me a whole new idea now.
Well, whatever it is, I'll be tuning in. And that's not just because I host this podcast or anything like that. It actually sounds quite interesting. All right. I got situations, my love.
That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend.
Let us get into our next segment. It is called Fuck Me. It's a segment about our sexual, romantic, and or dating lives. Up first, Akua has something that really connects with how she envisions her future dating life. So tell us about
it. Yeah, so the internet continues to validate my desired relationship and cohabitation dynamics. And we'll be talking about this piece, this written article from the CBC. What's CBC? What does that stand for?
It sounds Canadian. Yeah. Oh, the .ca. Yeah, there you go.
This article titled, How Living Apart Under the Same Roof Has Made the South
Okanagan?
Okanagan. Haha. Couple closer. Thank you so much for your assistance. It is by Winston... Sesto?
Zito.
Winston. Oh, Zito. Look at that. Different pronunciations, but I love it all. I wanted to talk about this because I remember, I don't want to say all my life, but for a long time, I've always lived with someone. I've always shared close space with someone. I went from sharing room with, I'm going to call them cousin siblings, to then sharing a room with my son. I've always had someone in my personal space. So I was like, once I can be free of this, ain't no nigga gonna come up in my space. I'm gonna need all the space, and the desire for space was so great that like I envisioned, this was like something I kept to myself, living in one house and my partner living in another, not during like just the dating phase where we both have our own separate residences, but like when we quote unquote should be living in one house, married or whatever. And I'm like, no, but you still gotta live over there and I'll come visit. Because, and then I remember it was on Twitter, cannot remember, but the picture comes to my mind. There was a tweet about these two adjoining houses. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I lie. I think I'm conflating two, but there was this tweet that basically validated this for me, and that this person, I believe it was a woman, was talking about her aunt who her husband, the aunt's partner, bought her her own house and had his own house and paid the mortgage on both houses. And I was like, oh, so this is real. Like, oh, so I'm not just, this is not fantasy. This can actually happen. Because all you need to do is show me something once. And I'm like, oh, if one person can do it, I too can do it. So this article continues to validate that for me. In the article, they talk about Shelley Hunt and Peter Verge, who's a couple from Penticton, British Columbia. And this was picked up because Shelley shared their relationship and living dynamics via TikTok. So they're both divorced with young children from previous marriages, and they have come together and are now seriously dating. They had both been on the market for a new house, and 2 years ago, as part of a step in their relationship, decided that they were going to buy one together. But instead of living in that house together, that house has two suites, as the British Columbians call it. Basically means it has two different living spaces. If you're a New Yorker, think of like a two-family home, you know. It looks like a one-unit home, but you open it and one staircase goes one way, another stairs goes another, and people can live in there virtually separate. So Shelley lives with her two children on the main floor, and then her partner, Verge, lives with his three kids on the upper floor, and each suite has its own kitchen, own bathroom, own bedrooms, and the only common area is the laundry room. And I was like, well, nigga. Y'all are doing the things with the kids? Oh, they done stepped it up a space for me. They done took it to a whole nother space for me. One thing I loved is that Verge says it's important to have dedicated space for him and his children because his children split time between him and his ex-partner. So he likes having, when they're over, that it's just him and the kids in their own house scenario. And of course, they shared that, yes, their kids interact. They know each other. They go to the park. They play in the yard. They eat dinner together sometimes. Like, they blend and come together. But it's very important that he has, like, his own space and kind of his own house for them. I love that. I was like, sometimes we think we have to blend everything when we're with our partner. And it's like, no, we can keep separate things and still be very much cohesive. For the future, it was asked if they were, you know, how long they were planning on this cohabitation dynamic. And they said, for now, with their kids being young and living with them primarily, that's the way they'll keep it. And once the kids are grown and out of the house, they may move in together. I was like, I just love the internet letting me know that my wildest dreams can actually come true. That it's not just me being weird.
Ah, you were never being weird, but thank you for the validation, Shelley and Peter Verge. Yes. These fake ass names, son. I don't think these people exist. But shout out to Shelley Hunt and Peter Verge. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool and cute.
It is. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. Woo! Living with somebody is not easy. You know, it's really not. And it's after having done it and still doing it, it affected our relationship in some type of way, but since we still live in the same house, but we live in separate rooms, and it's been fantastic for our relationship. We've been great. Like, it's just like we are more friends than we were when we were sharing the same room. Like, it's wild to me. And I used to take it personally, thinking that like I had somehow failed in the whole cohabitation thing. But sometimes you just need your own space, and I've never had my own space before. So like, there's like having my own room again, because I did for a little bit. Actually, I had my own space for a little bit, but I was with my sister. But having my own room again, it's just like it's a good, even in like when you're having conversations with someone and it gets heated or something like that, not necessarily slamming the door in your face, but like having a moment to decompress and be like, this is my space. Like, I don't have to be sitting on top of you. So important. So I think even if like I were to get into, I don't think I would get into another serious relationship or multiple serious relationships, I don't see myself wanting another nesting partner in my life. I just don't. It could happen, but like, I value the idea of having my own space so much. And now that I know the difference and I feel the difference, I'm like, nah. Like, it's very rewarding to have your own shit. Like when you pick up something or you put something down and it's still in the same spot that you left it, it's like magic, you know? It's just like, oh, okay, cool. But also, yeah, just having your own like bubble is so important. That's why I think even if you were to cohabitate, make sure you get a space, if you can afford it, obviously, a space where like even just having two bedrooms can make a world of a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, how you gonna cohabitate with a partner if you can't even get a partner in the dating pool?
Call that me is the fuck filled out then, bitch. Goddamn.
The transition. First, okay.
She was but it felt like no, because I was
the
like,
hot
wow.
Take here is that I actually don't think that the dating pool is as murky as everybody else does, but I put a fucking poll on my Instagram today and Akua said it's full of piss. So we must address that before we address the two family home. All right. But no, it's not a personal call out. I love you very much. All right. So this next thing, we're using a tweet to discuss our personal lives and our personal thoughts on the dating pool. So I'm going to bring up the tweet for the people on YouTube. All right. So this tweet is tweeted by _BriaPlease. And Bria says the dating pool is piss only. She said it's no water. It's no chlorine in that bitch. It's piss only. Someone's child gotta get me out of here. So then Bria went on to share two screenshots from, I'm pretty sure this is Hinge. So I will read it. So Bria's in the purple. The other person is in the gray. So Bria said, I feel that. We don't know what they felt. So are you actively going on dates? Question mark. That's what I'm interested in. Going on dates and spending time getting to know someone. And the other person said, I go on dates when I'm actually in a relationship. But just casual dates with randoms? No. Then Bria followed up with another tweet. And the tweet said, girl, I have questions because never in my 31 years. So then Bria said, so how do you get to know someone without dating? And the other person said, communication and chilling and vibing. Car ride.
Chilling and vibing, bro.
Car rides, etc. I just don't take people out at first. Too many people with wrong intentions. I want to know that does not say too many people. It says too many people with wrong intentions. A stickler for grammar up in here. And then Bria said, how long does it take before you figure out if you want to go on a date when you first meet someone? Like, where are you chilling at? And then Bria provided the additional context that this young man is 29. 29! Additional context, Bria said, I deleted all the apps. That was the sign. Dating shouldn't be so hard. You niggas broke and dusty. Comments and thoughts.
I need to know what the et cetera behind that car ride was. Nigga, what else?
What else are we doing?
What else?
Please. I don't know what else. I don't know what else fits in that realm.
Exactly. So what else?
But you put et cetera. Okay. It's not just one thing.
Okay. I mean, I think Bria's from New Orleans because they have the fleur-de-lis in their thingy.
The little thing, yeah.
But in New York, I find there's a certain ilk of nigga who like says that. Is anybody else picking up what I'm putting down?
Who says that they want that they don't go on dates?
Who just uses the word et cetera inappropriately?
Yes,
it'd just be like one fucking, like, you can't have one article and then say et cetera.
You need more.
It has to be one, two, three, et cetera. It's not no car rides, et cetera.
Because if it was two things, it's end. Just put the end there and tell me what the second thing is.
And to me,
so you have to have at least three.
My money long and my list of red flags is long. My money is not that long, so please contribute to this podcast. But my list of red flags is long, and that is a red flag to me if you talk like that.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like you don't think very much, and that's not gonna fly. But anyway, continue. Car ride.
Yeah, no, that's really, I need to know the et cetera. I need the other two examples so that I understand what
watching me play video
in.
Games.
One more. Because I don't understand.
Having bad sex, nigga. What else do you...
Because, honestly, anything can be a date. And I think people are so wrapped up in dates being, let's go sit down and eat. Let me spend copious amounts of money. And it's like, so y'all have no imagination. You just don't think. And, you know, if we go get two cups of coffee and stroll down the boardwalk, if you live next to a beach, nigga, that's a motherfucking date. Like, and how much money did you spend buying me a coffee? But no, I do. I would probably want something to eat. Buy me a donut too. But like, I don't need $60 dates, you know? But I need an activity in which we are dedicated to getting to know each other and focused on each other that's outside of my residence and yours. Like, I need an activity. You could have planned a picnic with your mama's sandwich bread and a slice of cheese, and we could have sat down.
Reimburse your mom for her fucking bread up in here, nigga.
And we could have sat in Central Park and people watched and threw bread at the birds. I don't know if we're supposed to do that or not. Or found a way to make a grilled cheese in the sunlight because it's 90 degrees outside. Like, there's content I can do there.
These are some fun dates ideas. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know. Like, we making grilled cheese in the sunlight.
But I'm gonna need you to do something. Like, I'm not coming to sit in your car or sit at your house, and you're not coming to sit in my car or in my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Date me. Take me out.
I think the thing here is that, like, that nigga's not trying to do that. I don't even think it's a matter of like not having any money, because we've all not had, well, that's not true, but many of us have not had money before, and you just like kind of find a way to make it work, whatever it is. So if he really wanted to date people, like, he would just find a way to do it. He does not want to date people. Okay. Yeah,
it's just casual dates with randoms. No, I don't know. Like, he said it like it was just like, why the fuck would I ever do that? Like, why would I ever go on a date with a random nigga? And it's just like, I don't think it hit the way that he thought it was going to, because it's just like, that's how I get to know you. And I'm glad she followed up, but she's better than me. Cause no, I probably would have wanted to know, because I've never had someone say something like this to me before.
Okay.
Like, usually it's just like, I'm looking for something casual. And then that means like, okay, then you ask him, does that mean we're going out? Or like, if you're just the type of nigga that just wants to ride around in your car, that's fine. I'd be having moments like that because I'm not in a car very often. But like, if you pull up and you're like, yo, let's just drive around, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of fun.
I too would have enjoyed that, but not as the only option to get to know you. Not as the only option. That's why I needed those other two examples. I need to know what the vibe is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just like, yeah, I really want to know what the other
thing. It was nothing, nigga. It was, that's why he didn't type it. He don't do dates because he don't like dates. He don't got ideas.
But that's the thing. He's making it seem like once, and I brought up the money thing because he makes it seem like once there is some type of solidified relationship, yeah, he will wine and dine you and all those things. And to me, it screams, I don't want to put in monetary investment, because sometimes dates don't go past the first or second. Sometimes it's not anything. And men feel like if I put money into it, I owe you. Exactly. You owe me more of your time because I took you to Red Lobster or wherever the fuck we went. And it's like, no, sometimes you spend money, you invest time and money into something that may not pan out, but this is a part of how we date. And if that's the issue, be creative in the dates. It doesn't have to be that if you're not trying to open your pocket.
Well, that's why I say that's not the issue, because like, niggas like to act like they're like ignorant, but like, he's not that ignorant. Like, you can think about the fact that you don't need to pay money, you know, with this whole fucking bad intentions thing. Like, that is just something that he used to like prop himself up in this conversation. He's probably misogynist to make it seem like all women are out to like fucking break the banks of men and shit like that. And he's just like on a dating app either to boost his own self-esteem to see how many matches he can get or to fuck people. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that is very clear from the very first sentence that he said. And as I've said multiple times on this podcast, I personally would not continue to engage.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, or when folks say the dating pool, and this is where I'll like kind of transition to my Instagram research, is full of piss and shit, what do y'all mean individually when you say that? Like, what are your encounters that make you feel that way?
You know what? I think it's funny because I've had two recent dating encounters that I messaged Sam about, and I was like, can you just tell me if I'm wilding in this situation? Because I did not understand. I think this is my first real foray into like really like intentionally dating and kind of knowing myself. And for me, the piss comes from this weird expectation, this weird expectation that I've noticed, like niggas want my time, but then like, if I'm busy, I'm like an asshole for some reason. I don't know. Or just like people just want my time, but like I'm not available enough for them. Or if I'm like, I can't ever say I'm too available. It's just like there's not a way to understand. People just have these expectations of you. And I'm like, but I don't even know you. Like, man, I mean, like, so do you want to get to know me, or do you already have a position for me in your life and I'm not filling it correctly? Because, yeah, I had somebody kind of not scream at me, but kind of just go like, nah, you wasting my time. I'm like, I thought I was just, you know, he was being backhanded or whatever.
That person was very passive aggressively trying to make you feel sorry for him. That is what I got from that exchange.
It was like that. And it was also the other, like, for me, I get a lot of like, and it's funny because I think Akua posted a screenshot in our Patreon chat and was like, sorry, I didn't answer your message. And they were like, it's okay, you can make it up for me with back shots. I've gotten shit like that where it's just like someone says hello and then they say hello again. And then the third message is like some wild out of pocket shit where it's just like, when you gonna let me eat your pussy? And I was like, sir, or ma'am, or them, what are we doing here? Like, I don't even know. Like, it'll be bold shit. Like, or like the triple text. And then the third one, like the third one is just like, all right, fuck you anyway.
Damn.
Or it's like, Yeah.
I didn't know niggas was still on that.
Yeah, or I think the last thing that like I can reference was someone literally, and I was out already, but someone literally saying that they were gonna meet up with me. This is a person who like wasn't excited about, we were super excited about wanting to go out until the day of, and then I was like, okay, what do you want to do? And they're like, I don't know anything. And I'm like, okay. Do you want to do this, bro? Like, we don't have to. But then I gave that person another chance. I didn't tell you that, but I gave that person another chance. I was out and I was like, he was like, I'm in Brooklyn, or I'm like driving around or whatever. I'm in a car. Like, I'll meet you there. So like, this is where I'm at already. I'm waiting upstairs because there's no service in the basement. And like, I'm like, are you coming? And he never showed up, but he kept answering me. And he literally responded and said, if I'm not coming, don't worry. Like, I will communicate that with you. And then that was the last thing he said. And we haven't spoken since.
Yo, that's kind of funny.
It's like, yo, this was a well thought out, like, yo, don't worry about it. Like, if I'm not coming, I promise I'll communicate with you the words. And then that's the last thing that you said. And like, you're still looking at my Instagram story. So like, you're alive. It's just weird shit. Like, the pool is just like, either people have these expectations and are not communicating it correctly, or they are communicating that they can communicate, but they're not communicating. Or it's just weird. Like, I know you have to go through growing pains to get to know somebody or whatever, but I started to think about like how not fortunate, because it's like a lot of these relationships weren't the best, but like I just kept meeting people organically and like it would just happen. But now like I'm out here with in the trenches too, and I'm like, that's horrible. But there are some good people though. I don't want to say the entirety of the dating pool is pissed, but like it keep coming up where you're like, do I want to do this? I have deleted all my dating apps based off of like, I think one encounter too many, where I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna be a single woman in bed at 7 and call it a day.
This is not for me. No, it was truly after that mess, that encounter with that person, where it was like, hey, I'm sorry, didn't realize I wasn't being active on this. And it was like, yeah, you can make it up with back shots, where I deleted each and every app I had on my phone. I said, they all have to go. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. I just cannot. I don't want to say that the dating pool is just a collective people urinating into the pool and it was never water. But I feel that there's too many people in the water pissing in it, and there's too many turds floating by now that it makes it feel like, where is the water? There may be a spot in the corner that's still fresh, but like there's so many. And I know like we've talked about dating apps and these experiences before. And I feel like, Sam, you've said something like it's just like it creates an environment where there's just so many more people or so many encounters with people that it feels, you know, like this. But it's like it's encounter after encounter after encounter. Like in this go around on apps, I don't think. Ooh, child, the trauma. Just no. Just thinking back at it, I'm just like, no. Like, similarly, I was dating a guy, met up with him a couple of times. I'm going to say between August and September. And things get a little fast paced for me in September, but I had just started another job. And school had started. So like my availability was changing to what it was when we first started hanging out in August. So there was some radio silence and I'd check in like, hey, you know, what's up? When can we meet? And things like that. And literally the last time we spoke, I checked in and said, hey, there's a lot of radio silence. It's making me uncomfortable. You know, let me know where you're at, blah, blah, blah. And he literally said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, so much has been going on. I'm still really interested in getting to know you, and has never said anything to me ever again.
I'm sorry.
How are you what interested in getting to know? Nothing then. Like nothing after that. Yeah.
How do you come up with these well-formulated responses? And it's like, oh, okay. Like you are good at this. Like you have me thinking like, okay, you checked yourself, you did the work, and then you disappear. I don't understand. It's very strange. And another pet peeve of mine, this is just something that I thought of. Now that I'm like on non-monogamous apps and I'm like I guess I'm a unicorn in some situations where like people are just like, oh, there's a single woman and I'm interested in dating couples. There's like a we thing that goes on when you're dating a couple that I hate. And I just want to make that as a PSA. Mm-hmm. You guys are still two different people, bro. Like, I don't understand why it's just like, how are you doing today? We're fine. What do you mean we're? Like,
I don't like when they have like,
which one of you guys am I speaking to? I don't even know. Like,
I don't like when they share inside jokes too fast. Cause then it's like, yeah, but that's not funny to me.
I had one, like the app, like you can make group chats and it'll just be like, oh, how are you doing today? I don't know. How are you doing today? I'm right across the room.
Yeah. Like that's too like. The power shift is like very much in your favor. Like, okay, we get it. Like, you live in the same house. Exactly.
There. This isn't funny for me. There's no place for me to jump in. And so it's just like multiple people there. It's like, all right, I thought maybe, you know, there'd be like a balance going on here. No, it doesn't. It's just odd. There's some odd things happening. I don't know. Yeah. Don't do that. If you're a couple, don't refer to yourselves as we. Just you're individual people still.
PSA for all the couples out here. I'm going to bring up some of the responses that I got on Facebook to see if you folks identify with it. I will say, I do think that I agree that many of the things that you're saying, I see them on dating apps and I encounter them in people that I'm dating. But for me to say the pool is full of piss and or shit would imply that most to all of my encounters are bad and they just aren't and haven't been for a really long time. And I'm not sure why. That is good. For you. Thank you. I'm trying to like parse out why, but I haven't been able to do it yet. That's why I did the whole poll thing on Instagram. It didn't help, but it's content, and so we will read it. All right. So I posted a question that said, "Is the dating pool full of piss and or shit?" And I clarified that definition to say, "Is the dating pool full of suitors you find undesirable?" 85% of people voted yes, and 15% of people voted no. Let's look at a little breakdown of that. Who's that? Oh, okay. 3/5 of the people who voted yes are men. The majority of the people, 3/5 of the people who voted no are men. That's what I meant to say. The majority of the people, just from eyeballing it, who voted yes are women, queer men, or non-binary people. And then One of the people who voted no was in a relationship, and I was like, that's annoying. Don't do that. Shut up. And then I asked people to elaborate, so I'll read some of those elaborations, and you all tell me how you feel about it. So one person said, piss and poo being the waste of people's past relationships murking our present experience. Thoughts?
I don't know what that means. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Basically like, my ex hurt me so bad, so I'm carrying that into all of my current...
I haven't gotten that far.
When people have failed, they've failed on their own accord with no past history marking that up. It's just been them.
Okay. But I can readily assess or identify as such. Maybe their bad communication is because of their ex. I don't know.
Fair.
But yeah.
I've dated multiple people since the pandemic is still happening, but like the reopening of the pandemic, like since we're not in quarantine anymore, who specifically said they spent quarantine like working on healing old relationship wounds.
Nice. That's good.
I think so.
Oh, you getting good ones. Okay. Spending their free time working.
Don't fuck up your algorithm by talking to these car rides, etc.
That's what it is. I fucked it up.
Somebody said people as a whole, all gender identities seem to be out for self or beholden to old ideas.
I don't know, I did
ask them to clarify, and they seem to treat it as games. No one wants to admit to catching feelings or any emotions because it's regarded as giving up leverage. Seems like everyone wants to have the leg up on the partner, but the partnership ends up being a ridiculous, competitive, transactional farce. Okay, poetry. That everyone ends up miserable and pointing fingers when they're ultimately playing themselves with the selfish outlook.
I agree with that sentiment. I just haven't encountered it myself. Again, haven't gotten that far to like even get to the point where we're exchanging whether or not we have feelings for one another, because we're just fucking it up from the get. So I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Go ahead.
But I could see that being a thing. I just don't know personally that that's happened to me.
A lot of these encounters to me felt like getting to the next steps with people and having all these things being unearthed. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be more like @_breeze thing, where it was like, these motherfuckers just don't even want to go on dates.
Exactly.
So that's why I just couldn't figure out the answer to my own question, because everybody's working on these different playing fields. I'll read a couple more. Too many older men who have never been to therapy. That's that similar sentiment with not working on yourself. People who immediately treat me like sex objects instead of a person. This is like four different responses from the same person, so I'm going to keep going. But
they're right there.
Okay, yeah. People who treat me immediately like sex objects instead of a person, and people who do treat me like a person, but then when they start to like me, freak out because they're in their 30s and don't know what they're looking for and aren't sure they want anything serious.
Mm-hmm. What was the part about the in their 30s? That felt like a little... Because I feel like I'm honorarily in my 30s, I'm just like, what does that mean? I don't know what I want sometimes. I mean,
this person is about that age too.
Oh, okay. The person's just confused. I guess it wasn't.
Yeah, I think they're saying like, how are you this old and you don't know what the fuck you want yet? But got I think it takes like work to get to that point. So it sounds like there's a lot of people who haven't worked on themselves on dating apps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then lastly, I asked, here's something. Where does this start? Oh, because they're nice doesn't mean you find them attractive. Things like that. Anybody encountering that?
Just because
nice uglies.
Just because they're nice doesn't mean you find them attractive.
Yeah.
You are encountering that.
That it's nice niggas, but I don't find them attractive. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And be like, damn, just. Okay, this is a Patrick like reference where just like take the town and you move it over, but it's just like but it's just like just take the face and damn, you know, like
I would hate for someone to say that about me.
I've never said it. I won't say it. It's just like not my type, but they'll be so nice, you know, or like I don't know. I didn't like the little chortle. I was like, no, I'm fucked up. No, it's just like I match people based off of like their bio, but not necessarily me thinking that they're like attractive. I just think like, oh, I could warm up to this person and find things attractive about them. And just not initially. That's the first thing that attracted me was a physical thing.
Akua?
Yeah.
I don't think, okay, I'm going to say a lot of things. Let's see if we make sense out of it. I don't think I notice people's physical attraction. Like, to me, it's like, oh, he has on a blue shirt. Because, you know, I have to get to know people before I can feel any kind of way about it. So it's like, yes, I can recognize that you are conventionally attractive or you fit those standards or that I like your face. But that also doesn't mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I like their face. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think I've encountered someone that's like, oh, they're nice, but I don't think they're because you being nice will make you physically attractive to me. The wheels are turning now. I was like, oh. Hmm. And what your face looks like.
Rebecca got to pass over some motherfuckers over to your end.
Yes, you being quote unquote nice will turn the wheels for me. Unless, I mean, we would never get to talking if I looked at you and was just like, oh my God, I cannot continue to stare at this person. Like, if, I'm sorry, it's absolutely horrible, but like, I just there's some level of attraction.
This is the mean portion of it. We started off with the fucked up portion of the episode. Now we're in the just goddamn.
But yeah, I don't think I've encountered someone that I'm like, oh my God. Like, no, I don't think.
It's the idea of just going like,
yeah, like, I don't think I've ever.
I can't do it.
I don't think I've ever. So it's blah. Like, yeah. I always kind of say, I was joking, kind of say, I do want my person to be a little bit ugly. I want to look at you sometimes like,
I can look at everybody that. Like that, though. Like, everybody I've ever dated, like, that's what, first of all, I don't like fucking dinner dates. I think they're very boring. One, two, maybe, stop doing that. But, like, you get a lot of time to stare at somebody's face, and everybody got something wrong with their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
There's something you can find and be like, so yeah.
Okay, well, I will end that segment and we'll move on into our next segment by saying that these people are finding folks in the wild at bars on the apps like Tinder, Gruff, somebody starting Hinge. Somebody said, I'm thinking about using the BLK app. I think I'm going to post this specifically to my Instagram story, but also, I think you're a listener. Don't use that app, son. I do not fucking like that app. That's a bad dating pool.
Okay. We talk about the dating pool has
men and women, nigga. And it's an app dedicated for black people, but white people be on there and they are not good either. It's
the worst of the worst, okay?
Everybody on that app is full of piss and shit. All right, anything about that before I move on? All right, cool. 30 minutes left of the whole season. All right, next up, we have our newest segment where we take a second listen to some questionable songs from our childhood. But first, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether it's the dating pool being filled with either piss or shit, seasonal affective disorder, a bad friend breakup, anxiety about a new job, or disenchantment with this cruel world that we live in, we could all use a little or a lot of extra help dealing with things that weigh us down.
You really just described everything that's taken me to therapy. Just every point on point.
There you go. Like, you know. There you go. Well, one service I've used that helps me deal with such weight is the online therapy service BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Not to mention, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, along with we here at the Inner Hoe Uprising, want you to start living a happier life today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. And while you're at it, you can visit betterhelp.com/IHU. That's BetterHelp and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Once again, special offer for Inner Hall Uprising listeners. You can get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/IHU. That's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. Let's get back to the show.
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit.
This is, we are debuting Fuck Is That Sound? Is our newest segment where we look at some of our favorite or not so favorite songs from yesteryear and question the messages these songs have imposed on our young, questionable minds. Rebecca, you can go first.
Mine is short. I didn't realize. It's only one part of the song that is questionable, but I've never even listened to it. So it was just like, what? So we're going to talk about Sexy Love by Ne-Yo.
Let me pull up those lyrics.
Yes. It's really because it starts off very like, oh, we're getting a little wild here. Because it's the first chorus, the first verse. And I will wait till you pull it up. And I'll read it out loud for y'all. You know, you tell me what you hear.
I want to sing the chorus now.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy love is the things you do.
The things you do.
Keeps me.
Strong.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Keep me running back to you. Baby, I love. Make love to you. Ooh, baby girl, baby you know girl. My sexy love. I haven't heard that in a minute.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know if you've really ever heard it, you know, because it starts off with him saying, She makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up with just one touch. And then he erupts like a volcano and covers her with his love. We coming all over niggas in a minute?
Yep.
Is that what we're doing now?
That's why he sprung. You did not understand. That is why old sis did was touch him. And he was like, that's all I needed. My bad. I got you in round two.
No.
Like, that's it.
Not like a volcano, and then, son, though.
Like a volcano.
That's too much cum. You didn't even, like, bust a courtesy nut. You didn't bust a courtesy nut before I came over, son.
No, this is someone who has, not, like, they were holding it in for that touch. And then,
could you imagine?
I don't know if I would even be flattered. No, granted, it happens. But, like, I don't know if that I would be like, yo, just one touch. Shorty had me like a volcano. Like, I don't know that I'm, again, there's certain things, but I get it. Like, that's power. That's power. So,
all right. You may not get it if you're listening to the audio version, but I had to bring up a very important image of Ne-Yo. It's important in this podcast history. One time, Ne-Yo posed like a fish. And what the fuck hat is this? A newspaper hat? Why did he do that?
A tango or something? I hate you, Samantha. I hate that you pulled
Why did
up.
He do that? No, I think about this image a lot, son. Ever since I fucking stumbled upon it like 10 years ago. So I have to. We have to discuss it every time. This is the same nigga who came in a minute, son. Like... Menace to society.
Ne-Yo hates this podcast.
Bro. He hates
and
us.
He has every right to.
I hate that nigga too. And what's up? Okay, because sometimes I be wanting to be romping shop and it's fucking Miss Independent, okay? And I hate when that happens too.
I wanted to be romping.
So we got beef.
I do hate that though. I do hate that.
Like, I wanted to hear Spice and Vibes Cartel be fucking homophobic, okay?
You got me. You choked me up on that one.
Oh,
wow. What? That was too much.
All right, just move me on, please, because the fits I will have.
All right. Let me pull up the lyrics to this next song that we got here. I thought that this one tied in, which is why I kind of rearranged the order of the episode. That's why we started with that fucking cat shit, unfortunately. But, all right, so this next one is, let me pull up my personal notes for it, too. All right, this next one is the 2002 New York fucking anthem, Hey Ma, by Joel Santana and Cameron of Dipset fame. And all right, there's two things that I want to discuss when it comes to this song.
You just said 2002, and I was like, wait a minute.
I thought it was 2005, but it's fully 2002.
Ooh,
sorry.
Baby.
Sorry. All right. Okay, so you know, Joel Santana has his first verse or whatever. I'll go through it. So I was downtown clubbing ladies' night, seen shorty that was crazy, right? I approached baby like, ma, what's your age and type? She looked at me and said, you's a baby, right? I told her I'm 18 and live a crazy life. Plus, I tell you what the 80s like, which is not true. At the end of the 80s, he was 8 years old. So just a quick interjection on that. And I know what the ladies like. Need a man that's polite, listens and takes advice. I could be all three. Plus, I could lay the pipe. So come with me. Come stay tonight. She looked at me laughing like, boy, your game is tight. And this is where we have to talk about it. I'm laughing back like, sure, you're right. Get in the car. He was so nice before, right? He was playing the whole nice guy thing. Then it shifts. This nigga gets fucking aggressively horny. Get in the car and don't touch nothing. Send the car. Now let's discuss, son.
Oh my God.
Either we loving or I see you tomorrow. She's in the car, so let's discuss something. You have to get out of the fucking car, nigga. Like, if we're not having sex, you have to get out of the car, bitch. What's up with that? And then he's breaking the speed limit. Now we speeding up the west side, hand creeping up her left side. I'm ready to do it, ready to bone, ready for dome. Why are you that? Like, he's just like, I'm ready to fuck right here, right now. 55th exit, damn, already be home. Now let's get it on. Like, just in right in the door. Yo, right as soon as the door opens.
He had me with the polite listens and takes advice. I was like, okay, you know? Yeah, no, it's a lie.
It's a lie.
Pulling the wolf exactly. From
it's
your
like,
eyes.
It's like, you know, the end of Thriller where Michael Jackson turns into the fucking werewolf. That's Joel Santana in this song.
No, yeah. I always noticed how aggressive it was. And I was like, What happened? It was always, you're right, get in the car. Don't touch nothing. I was like, wait up.
This nigga don't even want me to turn the heat up a little bit. Like, damn, it's cold in here. Don't touch nothing, bitch.
It was always the don't touch nothing, sit in the car. So I'm supposed to sit on my hands as we drive to your house. I no longer am comfortable. I don't want to do this.
You are ordering me around.
Literally. I don't want to do this.
And as an 18-year-old too, don't talk to me like that. Bitch ass nigga. The fuck? The fuck? But also don't have sex with 18-year-old though.
Yeah, don't.
Unless you're another 18-year-old or something. All right, so this is what made me think back to the car rides, etc. So the chorus performed by Freaky Zeke and Toya. Hey ma, what's up? Let's slide. All right. And we gonna get it on tonight. You smoke, I smoke, I drink, me too. Well, good, cause we gonna get high tonight. Got drops, got coupes, got trucks, got jeeps. All right, cause we gonna take a ride tonight. That's the entirety of the plan.
Yeah.
So, Ma, what's up? Let's slide. All right.
All right. In
2002, Dipset birthed a generation of menacing niggas who thought that this would be okay for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck with them.
It stuck with them.
To this day, in the words of Devontae Wilder or whoever said that. To this day.
Yep. At 29 and 30, it sure did.
It's the don't touch nothing.
It's the don't touch nothing sit in the car. It has like always been that for me.
Imagine you're on
it's
a
always
like I've made the exception for you. I sat in this fucking car. I stuck with my instincts right. And I said, you know, I don't want to do this. And you're like, get in the car and they tell
you're
me
on a car ride, etc. Like date, and you can't even fucking turn the radio down, son, because this nigga wants to play fucking.
I can't crack the window a bit. Nothing. Nothing. I gotta sit on my hands. Nothing.
And last but not least, this one makes me sad, but you know, everything you loved as a child is bad. Not everything, but most things you loved. So like, I feel like Cam'ron's verse, when it comes on, if you're in the club or whatever, a party, it's like a tradition that when he gets to the part where he's like, yo, L, what's up? You have to be Cam'ron if you initiate it. And the person next to you, whoever it may be, has to be L. And you have to have this back and forth. Like, I love to do that, but the back and forth is just so. Dropped her off at the L, now I'm flipping a cell. That's right, I had to call up L. Yo, L, what up? I hit what else? Plus dome, say word. And we got it on tonight. You know Cam'ron gave her bad sex, though.
Yeah.
And you know that's what you're fucking cosplaying when you play L and Cam'ron. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. So, yeah.
there would be an additional line like, yo, did you please her as well?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just like nothing.
Did she come, bro?
He clicks the phone, that's it.
The call has disconnected.
That sentence reminds me of how juvenile the characters in the song are, because it's like, never in my adult life or in this part of my adult life have I called to talk about sex with anyone. That was something I did as a youngin. I was 18,
yo,
19,
L, what
20.
Up? I hit what else?
And that was the entirety of the conversation.
It's also niggas being niggas who are like, this foreplay is not sex. Like, I hit plus dome. Like,
dome.
Okay.
Were we... Okay.
And it's good that you grew out of that, Akua, but car rides, etc. never did. So let's have a moment of silence for car rides, etc.
Hoocha.
Let's pour one out. I'm in a little Vicks can.
I did notice you holding the Vicks. I'm like, is this nigga sick? Like,
nah, I'm professionally
holding it like this.
Oh, I had it in the frame when I was talking.
Yeah, you did. You were like holding it. And I was like, this nigga just holding Vicks. All right, cool.
Our new sponsor.
I do have a giant diet Snapple bag.
I thought that was Pedialyte.
Clearly just out here. Nah, you said Pedialyte, and I was like, damn, this nigga believes in me. This is diet Snapple, bro. It's nothing. No.
Shout out to Snapple, bro. Yeah, I always have my aspartame next to me at my desk. And also, oftentimes, floss, which, Akua, I saw your floss pic in the frame earlier. Akua's flossing. How about you, Rebecca?
Kobe floss.
Mine's off camera right here.
Yeah, where you can't see. Just out of frame.
I got lots of these in my house and my water pic. I love it.
There we go.
Just another smooth exercise in political manipulation. Deceit and deception. Callousness and indifference to our individual problems. And the disgusting playing of divisive politics.
All right. So next up, we have our segment, Politics. This is a segment where we talk about legislation or public officials that affect sex relationships, LGBTQ folks, and or sex workers. And today, we're talking about the fight to dismantle Roe v. Wade and the fight to dismantle trans rights being funded by the same damn people. Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man meme. Before I get into things, how much do you folks know about the current fight to dismantle Roe v. Wade?
Admittedly, not enough.
Yeah, not enough. I know it's there. I know, you know, it's I know it's present, but not much.
Okay. Well, that's why we do this show though, baby. All right. So before I get into the context about that, or maybe I'll get into the context first. Yep, I'm gonna get into the context first. Okay, so context behind the potential overturn of Roe versus Wade and why we're talking about this. So we've spoken extensively on this podcast about anti-trans bills. I will link those episodes in the show notes. There've just been a lot of them this year. And so we've talked about them many, many times. But we haven't spoken so much about the anti-abortion wave that has been happening for many years. I'm sure we've talked about it in past years of this podcast, but not this year. And I personally didn't really want to talk about it because I felt like there was more of a gap in the reporting when it came to anti-trans bills than abortion. So I wanted to like help fill that gap and like learn more about it myself. So that's why I would always propose those. But this abortion shit is like the realest it's ever been. It's been real, but it's the realest it's ever been since this past week. So it's a good time to talk about it now before we go on break. And then also an article came out that linked these two issues. And I wanted to kind of discuss it from that context. But for folks who don't know, so recently the Supreme Court heard the case Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization. If this case is ruled in favor of Dobbs, the case would make most abortions illegal after 15 weeks of pregnancy, which would effectively overturn the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, I think. Maybe it's 1978, which currently grants folks the constitutional right to an abortion up until 23 weeks. So the Supreme Court probably won't rule on this until June, because that's just when they rule on things that they've heard in like September, October, November of the previous year, December. But currently the Supreme Court is stacked with justices who were essentially appointed to do this, like to overturn Roe v. Wade. And if you think about why they even chose to hear this case in the first place. So Roe v. Wade was a decision that was established in 1973. This Mississippi law is unconstitutional with Roe v. Wade in place. So they could have just chose to not hear the case and then it would continue to be unconstitutional. But because they're choosing to hear it, it's pretty obvious that some type of change is going to happen. And that change effectively overturns the Roe versus Wade decision. So that is happening right here, right now in this country. All right. So I wanted to, during this segment, read from an article in The Nation called "The Christian Legal Army Behind the Ban on Abortion in Mississippi." It's written by Amy Littlefield, who is a journalist at The Nation who specifically does reproductive rights reporting. I used to work with Amy at a different place and she's a good reporter, so yay. I'm going to link the article in the show notes, but I want to highlight a passage in this piece that does a good job highlighting the two issues of anti-trans bills and anti-abortion legislation. All right, so this is me reading from the piece now. In January 2018, attorneys with the Alliance Defending Freedom outlined a plan to eradicate Roe that has now come into fruition. And then I skip a little bit down, but if you want to read about that plan, definitely click on the piece. The Alliance Defending Freedom, described by founder Alan Sears, described as a legal army, is the engine behind the Christian rights legal agenda. With a $50 million annual budget, the organization writes model bills and funds and litigates court cases that seek to weaponize a narrow interpretation of religious freedom in service of a whole host of conservative priorities, from empowering discrimination against LGBTQ people to opposing the Biden administration's COVID vaccine mandate. ADF boasts a network of more than 3,500 allied attorneys and has trained more than 2,100 of them. Speakers at its Blackstone Legal Fellowship for Law Students have included Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett and Fifth Circuit Judge Kyle Duncan. Its influence has extended to members of Congress like Louisiana Representative Mike Johnson, a former ADF attorney, and to Attorney General offices nationwide, where as of 2017, at least 18 ADF affiliated attorneys were working across 10 states, as Sarah Posner reported for The Nation at the time. If you don't know ADF's name, you've likely heard its policies. The bills to ban trans students from using the bathroom that matches their gender and from playing sports with their same gender peers, for example. ADF won a narrow victory at the Supreme Court for a Colorado baker who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. And more recently, the group has taken up the purported quote-unquote indoctrination of students in critical race theory and defended elementary school teachers who want to misgender their students. What ties these threads together is an agenda expressed by Posner, the organization's painstaking construction, case by case and argument by argument, of a legal narrative asserting that Christians are under threat of persecution from the advance of LGBTQ and reproductive rights, as well as from secular schools and universities, and that the law must allow Christians to disregard, disobey, and even dismantle laws protecting those rights. Just to break up me talking a little bit into address what people on YouTube can't see. Y'all are looking at me real cockeyed right now. explain how you're feeling at this moment and your cockeyed looking faces.
It's just intense. And to think that it's all coming from like one organization that's like,
yeah, like I'm sitting here, like people talk about the gay. This is the agenda. This is it. It's this a very, is so nefarious. Like the fuck?
Yeah. I'm gonna continue reading, but I did some similar, not to this in depth, but some similar reporting when I was working on that foster care piece that I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, and how like the money behind that little litigation ran long. Like these are just like nefarious billionaires who are injecting and like playing kingmaker and stuff like that. So it's very disturbing. Another thing that just makes me feel angry about it all is like how the pieces are so blatantly connected, but how people in specific pockets who are being affected cannot like make inroads with each other. So I think about how the banning, quote unquote, of quote unquote critical race theory, because that's not even what these schools are trying to teach in the first place. That's a misnomer. But basically, essentially the banning of like proper education about how race works in this society and racism and slavery. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure someone like Dave Chappelle would not like that. And these are the same people who are like also trying to discriminate against trans people. And he like doesn't see that like trans people are your allies and that we should be co-conspirators in this, as opposed to like taking the talking points of these fucking billionaires and using it against each other. But yeah. All right. So back to this piece. I think I was here. Okay, that agenda is so in lockstep with today's Republican Party that ADF chief executive Michael Farris played a secret role in efforts to overturn the 2020 election in favor of Donald Trump, according to the New York Times. As legal abortion appears poised to fall, ADF and the rest of the Christian right legal movement are beginning to chart their next steps. This is a quote from Amara Jones, an investigative journalist and host of the Anti-Trans Hate Machine podcast, said, from their perspective, Roe is dead. It's just a matter of time. So what they're going to need is a new front in the gender wars to keep their funders, their activists, their political network animated around issues of gender. I just want to take a moment to like shout out the Anti-Trans Hate Machine podcast. It's 4 episodes hosted by Amara Jones, Black trans woman and investigative journalist. It is so good at like talking about this place, the ADF, and like seeing the money trail and like following how all of these people have like constructed this plan for the past like 40, 50 years. So I would definitely recommend that podcast. I'm going to put it in the show notes. But yeah, this reminds me of something that I said in, I think it was the Puberty Blockers episode that me and Rob did last season, where it was like, they use these issues to rally voters. Like, and when you fall for it, you are just getting played by these very, very rich people who are using you as a fucking pawn. Back to the piece. Enter anti-transgender bills, which have burgeoned in state legislators over the past few years. State lawmakers introduced more than 100 anti-transgender bills this year, up from 21 in 2015. In many states, abortion and transgender rights are being eroded in tandem. Texas enacted a ban targeting the ability of transgender students to participate in sports right after its near total ban took effect. Mississippi, where the 15 ban at issue in Dobbs made its debut in 2018, passed this year's first anti-LGBTQ law, an anti-transgender sports measure. The past year has shattered records for both anti-transgender and anti-abortion bills. Anti-abortion bills. It's not just that these are two sides of the same coin, as Jennifer Finney Boylan wrote for the New York Times. It's actually the same organization that is designing and financing these attacks. For the most part, Jones noted, the movements to defend abortion and LGBTQ rights don't operate this way. Mainstream organizations like Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and Human Rights Campaign tend to operate as single issue organizations, as do more grassroots direct service organizations. Progressives are essentially a coalition agenda, but the right is a unified agenda with a common ideology, Jones said. You have this coalition that's going up against this machine. Skip down to the end, but once again, I do recommend that you read the full piece, which I will link in the show notes. Beyond the fact that it's literally the same organization that is bringing about the end of legal abortion and the rights of trans people to exist in public life, for these movements, the parallels and opportunities for solidarity are bountiful. What's at stake is the right to access medical care and create the families we want in the face of an agenda that idealizes the white nuclear family. Promisingly, many activists have already recognized this common ground. If the Christian right's success over the past half century is any indication, movements can win big when they see how the dots are connected. Yeah, I felt like that said it all.
That just made me feel that made me feel kind of powerless. Kind of made me sad.
Like,
granted, I'm not, but like, what?
I mean, it made me feel powerless and powerful because it's like you can never, like, if you don't know that you're sick, you can't even address the sickness. So, like,
and
some really good investigative reporting has been being done. Like, yes, this is a huge ass coalition and they are super fucking funded. Like, I was listening to Anti-Trans Hate Machine and there was like an progressive organization that was founded to like literally like be the antithesis of them. And Amara Jones was interviewing this person from the organization and this person was like, yeah, they have $350 million. We have $50 million. So yeah, this is like a massively, man, it's just so big. And the money is so fucking long. It's really nefarious. There's like, it gets like mustache twirly villain weird. Like, I really
it's true. It really does feel like it gets even more
mustache truly villain weird. Like in episode 4 of Anti-Trans Hate Machine, they talk about like the DeVos family, which is like Bessie DeVos, who she married into, and her family, and like how the marriage was like this joining of two conservative white wealthy organizations, and how like they like believe that they're rich because God poised them to be rich, and how it's like their duty to make America in the way that like God quote unquote wants. It's like, it's fucked up. Yeah.
And it's reality. Yeah. It doesn't even sound real.
It's it sounds like Black Mirror type shit, but it is actually happening.
It's actually happening.
But what made me feel positive after, even that's why I wasn't going to read that last line. And I was like, let me throw that in there. Cause like Amy makes it a point to end it with like, okay, they're winning like this by being connected. Now that we know that, maybe we should be connected.
Let's connecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know. And I say Chappelle, but also like, there's a whole bunch of like straight up trans exclusionary radical feminists who identify as such, but then also just like regular people who identify as feminists but completely leave trans people out of their politic, who are upset about the abortion thing but do not see that that's a inroad to be made and things like that. Yeah, I don't know. Come Together by the Beatles, Alexa. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna make this very, I don't want to say stupid, silly analogy.
Okay.
But like, remember the Power Rangers where they
the
have like
Zorg
giant,
or whatever?
Yeah, that they're fighting and they're the individual Rangers trying to attack it from different areas. And then when they Mighty Morph, nigga, we need a Mighty Morph.
They're unstoppable.
We need to get it together and just become that other giant coalition to beat them, nigga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think is possible. At least I hope. I don't know. You tell us in 3 months from now. You tell future in our office.
We'll see what,
what goes down.
We'll see what it's going. What it's given in the spring.
Yeah. Any additional?
I guess we'll circle back to it in June when the Supreme Court makes their decisions.
Yep. Any additional thoughts about that?
That's wild. What is that? And the fact that so much of this operates behind the scenes, that it's like, let me pull back the curtain. What the fuck y'all back here doing?
Behind the scenes, But also, in plain sight. I just think that the messaging of, actually, I think I wrote this down somewhere. I feel like the idea of individualism in this country is so pervasive, and the white supremacist patriarchal capitalist promise of you too can have power, be in charge, and specifically domineer over others is so tantalizing that instead of building inroads and effecting change that benefits all people, movements, organizations, people just want to carve out their specific piece of the pie and be done with it. And while that's just like a fucked up thing to do, and I don't believe in being that kind of human, it's also really short-sighted, because if you don't like really affect the change that needs to be affected, then like, yeah, a lot of people said like Roe versus Wade does not go far enough. It does not protect people enough. A lot of people said like the Supreme Court is not an institution that's ever going to fully uphold our rights, because it was founded during slavery and is a relic of slavery, and like these people who are appointed by these presidents or whatever for lifetime appointments, that's gonna like come into, it's gonna come into conflict one day. And I think that like the people who gained enough rights after Roe were like, all right, girl, shut up. Like, we good over here. Shut the fuck up with all that bullshit. And then like now here we are. Like a whole bunch of trans people said, like, okay, great, gay marriage, that's all good and well, but like that is not enough. We need more shit. And like cis gay men were like, all right, bitch, like we get married over here. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit. And now like it's all coming back, like the chickens are coming home to roost, because like it's gonna, sure, you might get your little piece of the pie, but then they're gonna erode everybody else, and it's gonna come time again where your piece of the pie, exactly
they go come take your pie. And it's ironic, I think that's the word, that there's this push for individualism, but you see these powers as be working as a collective. They're marrying and unifying and donating. Yes.
They have some Game of Thrones type fucking merging shit up in here.
they understand collectivism over there, okay? They understand it, but will tell you to be as individualistic as possible.
Divide and conquer.
Dead ass. Yeah. Dead fucking ass. Extra listening assignment, since your favorite podcast is on break. Obviously listen to the BBB. But in regards to this segment, I definitely want to like emphasize, listen to Anti-Trans Hate Machine. Very well done. I also do want to shout out my work, the Sounds Like Hate, Fostering Hate's part 1 and 2 episodes. Did some good reporting work on tracking the tie between the installment of conservative justices, same justices who are probably going to overturn Roe, and the legislative effort to allow government-funded religious organizations to discriminate against same-sex couples. So like we talked about that on this podcast. The Fulton versus City of Philadelphia, what happened was the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Fulton and Catholic Social Services to not work with same-sex couples, but it was just very specific to this contract, because the contract, it just came down to contract law instead of like what's constitutional in regards to people fostering type law. But a lot of the experts that we spoke to were like, it's just a matter of time till somebody comes to the Supreme Court with a more like solid case where there's no things where you can pick out the contract, and like that's going to be the ruling. Like the ruling is going to be in favor of religious freedoms as opposed to a same-sex couple's right to foster or adopt children. So listen to that if you're curious. I'll link it in the show notes. But yeah, anything else? Because that's how we're going to end this episode. So do you have anything good to say?
Sometimes this is us. You know, we start out lighthearted. Sometimes it's reality. We tell you the world's going to end. I don't know. We're working on it, y'all. We're working on it.
I don't think that the world has to end. I think we said positives to build inroads.
Yes. Build inroads.
All right. I'm not going to continue to grasp for fucking positivity straws. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And please fucking donate to the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho or patreon.com/innerhouprising, so you can keep up to date with us as we are on break.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhouprising.com to pay a hoe or to cop some merch. If you'd like to follow me, you can at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram. That's the only social media I ever look at.
You guys can follow me at Hey, a cool girl, as I cuddle through the winter with my cub.
Aw, cub. Aw, that's so sweet. I'm Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter. I'll probably start using Twitter again since I can't talk my bullshit here. So that has been another season of the Innerho Uprising podcast. Have a lovely motherfucking winter, because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye. Or see you later.
Bye.
See you next time.